Hey, I'm Seth Henniger. I am the associate slash youth pastor here at Lake City Assembly of God. And I'm joined with our pastor, Pastor Gary Kraft. And we have a day for you. We're going to talk about one of the parables today.
Yes, we are.
Another one of the parables. We're just trying to break these things down, right, Pastor? And like the basic meaning of them.
Well, evidently, Jesus thought they were pretty important.
Right. And this is how Jesus preached the majority of the time, or he taught. He was a master communicator. Yeah. And so, speaking of which, we're going to start out with something I think that is like parables, and they're called memes of our time. And so, anyway, I found this meme the other day, and I thought it was hilarious. And it says, a perfect metaphor for 2020 would be someone trying to stand up in a hammock. I think that accurately describes how things
I have enough are. Trouble getting in and out of a hammock, much less stand up in it.
You should see me trying to get out of one. It's quite the adventure.
Where's the
I'm
video
like, Sarah, just roll me over. Like, I'm stuck in this thing. And if you've ever been one of those e-news where they like close up on you and you feel like you're in a cocoon.
Yeah, like, yeah. I spent several days in one, not at a time, but I slept in a hammock on a mission trip one time in Ecuador, and it was different.
This is quite fun, right?
Yeah. I mean, it was, but getting in and out of it, you know, getting in's easier, but getting out of it sometimes you got it. I wouldn't want to stand up in it. I put it.
No. Things don't generally go well. Like I said, I usually have to roll out of it.
Something would be broke. You know that thing. Don't try this at home. That should be labeled across the top of that.
Please. Yeah. And so today we're going to talk about the parable of, what do we call it, the seeds?
The seed, I call it the seed and the sower. Yeah. And it's found in Matthew 13. And I will read, this is one of the parables. The unique thing about this is that Jesus interpreted this one.
Right.
Some of his parables, he just said it and just let it hang.
Let it go.
You know, and just kind of drop the mic.
And I actually think it's ironic in this thing before you read it, the disciples are like, why do you talk like this?
It's like.
That's basically what they're saying. Why do you keep doing this?
It's like nobody.
And then he interprets it.
Yeah, nobody understands this.
Yeah.
But in Matthew 13, Jesus tells the parable, and it says this in verse 3. He says, then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear.
Yeah.
So that's the basic parable, okay? And should we go ahead and read his interpretation of it?
We can, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, might as well. And then break it down.
Yeah, because they were confused. They didn't get it. It just.
Why don't you read it like segment by segment, and we can talk about
okay.
it.
Okay. All right. So. Well, when he comes back finally and interprets the parable for them, because they came to him and they said in verse 10, actually,
what I just said.
The next verse, it's like, why do you keep speaking in parables?
What are you talking about?
Yeah, I mean, it's like, can't you just spell it out?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And. But anyway, we won't go into the reason he did that.
Right.
But I will just say one statement. If you really wanted to know the truth, you'd dig and you'd dig and you'd figure it out.
Right.
If for those who they didn't really want to know the truth,
they wanted the easy answer.
Well, or they just wanted you ever talked with someone before and you got the feeling they weren't really listening. They were just trying to figure out the next thing they wanted to say.
Absolutely, yes.
And that happens a lot.
Yeah.
A lot of us have done that, and it's been done to us. But for those people, they really didn't want to understand and respond to the truth. They really were just looking for a reason to trip him up and to kind of undercut his ministry. So they were just looking for material to trap him with.
Right. And so propaganda.
Yeah, for those people, when he spoke in parables, it just disarmed them. They didn't have anything to work with. And so there were multiple reasons Jesus did this, but it was brilliant. But let's talk about it. So here's his interpretation, verse 18. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received the seed by the wayside.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So let's just go back and kind of, survey this just for a minute. There were four different kinds of settings or soils.
Right.
Soils in various conditions.
Right.
The seed was the same.
Right.
And the sower was the same.
Right.
But where
the receiver.
The receiver was the difference in each of these, let's say, outcomes.
Right.
Because, you know, it's very popular today to talk about, well, you know, what is our desired outcome and blah, blah, blah. You know, what is our objective in this meeting or our objective in this project or our objective in this discussion, whatever. And so what's different in this parable is the four different outcomes in which all depended on the condition of that soil.
Right.
It was all soil, but it was soil in various states, let's just say, of receptivity.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. Or the conditions were different in each situation. And so Jesus goes to the first one and he said, the seed that fell by the wayside is, those who heard the word of God. And by the way, he says on down through here, he says the seed is the word.
Right.
Okay. And so the seed that he's talking about is the truth of God's word. Basically what Jesus would call the good news.
Right.
What we say, gospel.
That's right.
Gospel is an old English word that means good news. And so, you know, the gospel or the good news, a certain set of truths were deposited in four different people in four different situations.
Right.
Okay. And the first one was the one where they didn't understand it at all. It just went right over their head.
Right.
And it says here, the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in the heart.
Right.
And that's he who received the seed by the wayside.
So this would be somebody who just basically blows off the message of God, right?
Yeah. You know, there was no receptivity. I think the word, we could use another word, responsiveness.
Right.
There was no responsiveness. The truth never really penetrated past just a cliche-ish.
Right.
A level of communication. It's kind of like, yeah.
Yeah.
It's that kind of attitude.
Well, yeah, and I think, you know, the majority of people in America, you've at least got an option, right, to hear the gospel.
Yeah, sure you do.
Some version, some way.
Yeah.
There's especially here in the South, we have a church around every corner, right? And so you've got all these abilities. And at some point in your life, you've been to VBS, you've been to something like that, some event, or you've heard from a friend or some that, you know, I'm not saying everybody has, I know everybody hasn't, but for the majority, we've heard it, but you may have just brushed it off over your life.
Well, and unfortunately, for a lot of people that are not, have never been involved in a church, or they've never been in a meeting, or they've never stumbled up on some kind of media that is proclaiming the message about Jesus and how you should respond to it. For those people, most of them have received what we should call anecdotal evidence,
right,
where someone in the media just kind of threw the name of Jesus out there in a passing reference,
right,
or they even portrayed it in a twisted kind of, prejudiced kind of way that didn't really do the true message justice.
Right.
And so a lot of people in our culture, they know the name Jesus, they know the word church, they may even be familiar with the word gospel, they know the word Bible, but they really don't, have never really seen, heard, been exposed to a thorough presentation of what Jesus is really all about, what he said about himself,
right,
what his purpose coming into this world was, you know, what he said about his death and his resurrection, and what his immediate followers said to the people that, like us, are after the period Jesus dwelt on earth in bodily form.
Right.
You know, we're all, since he died, rose again, ascended back to heaven, we are all post, you know, early church era when right. the New Testament was being written. Okay, so, but there's those various ways. People are almost like inoculated, right?
Yeah.
So how do you inoculate someone against a disease? You give them a shot of what?
It's
something,
yeah.
It's a little bit of the virus or whatever
right,
it is.
Right.
It's a little bit of it so your body can respond and develop immunity. So a lot of people are almost immune to the gospel in our culture because they've heard just enough about Jesus to decide, and it's usually slanted views about Jesus.
Yeah. Or they've seen Christians, you know, in a very hypocritical state.
Which we've blown it.
Yeah,
we've talked about that before. And that has prejudiced their view of what the message of the gospel is.
That's right.
The seed, right? We're back
That's
to the
right.
seed. So this is maybe that group.
Right.
Maybe they've been exposed a little bit to a general concept, but not an accurate concept of what Jesus and the gospel is about. And so basically the seed just bounces off.
So who's the next group?
The next group is, of course, it's another kind of soil
right.
or another kind of person with another kind of level of responsiveness.
Right.
Okay, so it says this, he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Okay? Yet, he has no root in himself, but endures only for a little while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles.
Yeah. Well, maybe this is like, which, you know, kind of on another level, you've been, as a child, you went to church. As a child, you were there. Or even in the last few years, you allowed Jesus to be a part of your life for a little while. And for a minute, you plugged in, but mm-hmm. all of a sudden, you know, a tragedy, trial, something terrible made you pull away and you never came back.
Right. Well, I mean, Seth, haven't we both, and most people that will be watching this, even if you're not a churchgoer or a Christ follower, you've known someone who for a brief period of time, what we used to call when I was young, getting religion.
Yeah.
Well, they
yeah.
got religion. Well, they're born again. Oh, they're a Jesus freak now.
Yeah.
Whatever word is used now for those people who have this very experience, they hear the good news about Jesus. They go something like this. That's what I need.
Right.
That's what I've been looking for. Somebody to give me peace or somebody to help me with all this mess I got myself in. Sometimes it's what some people would call foxhole religion, mm-hmm. where I'm in a mess, I can't get myself out,
right.
and this guy's telling me that Jesus is the answer.
Yeah.
And so I respond and God helps me. And then I'm rocking along, just enjoying being a Jesus follower. And then
the bottom falls out.
Then, yeah, something happens.
Yeah.
My girlfriend says she don't want to be with a Jesus freak. You know, my car, I have an accident. And, you know, I lose my job because I can't get to work, blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden, life gets tough again. And what are some of the responses, Seth, for somebody that is a new believer? They've decided, yes, I want Jesus in my life. I'm going to follow him. And they have an initial rush of enthusiasm
right.
and excitement and right. joy until something difficult happens in their lives. What are the possible responses?
Well, that's like a honeymoon period in your relationship. But what is the appropriate response?
Well, what are the possible responses? One of them would be appropriate.
Well, I mean, we all hit those hard times, and I think we talked about this in our last one. You hit those hard times where you just don't feel God sometimes. Yeah, yeah. And that doesn't mean God's not there, but you have the option, how am I going to deal with that? Because you're going to, as a Christian, when you become a Christian, is not a guarantee of a problem-free life.
No, it's not.
In fact, if you actually really read the Bible, you're going to find out that, what, Pastor, 99.9% of the people, including Jesus, deal with hardship and trouble and rough patches.
Yeah.
And so your response can either be, I can't handle this, which you're going to go through those things anyway, so that's not the response I would choose.
Right.
Or your response can be to cling closer to God, uh-huh. whether you feel Him or not, whether things are going perfect or not. You were talking about that actual illustration. Those people, in my mind, that kind of Christian is people who are in it for God to give them things and to save them from things.
Right.
And that's, you know, and God's not, just like in your relationship, no matter who you have a relationship with, there's give and take, right? And there's good and bad.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, God's not bad, but you are going to go through rough patches in your life.
Well, you know what? One of the things I was thinking when I asked you the question is this. There are those people who get angry at God.
That's true.
Because they feel like they've been sold a bill of goods. They feel like they've been sold on the gospel and living for Christ. And let's be honest, there have been times that we as preachers, we have painted a rosy picture of the benefits. And they are many and they are everlasting.
Right. Forever.
But one of the benefits, as you just expressed, is not trouble-free living on this earth, but there are many benefits to walking with Christ. Primarily, you don't go to hell, you go to heaven when you die or when Christ returns. But also, you don't have to go through any of those trials or tribulations alone, as I would say, helpless or hopeless.
Yeah.
Now.
That's huge.
Now every tribulation you go through, you have help in Christ and you have hope in Christ.
Right.
Because you know He overcomes eventually.
That's right.
And even if He doesn't just wipe away all of your trouble with a magic wand, He's still with you in the middle of it. As some people say, He'll either go with you through the storm or He'll stop the storm. As many times as not, He just goes with you through the storm and helps you in a thousand little ways instead of saying, as He did one time, peace, be still to the storm, and it stopped, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so, but some people, maybe because all they were shown was the wonderful side of walking with Christ.
Right.
Nobody warned them. There might be a price tag on the backside.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Particularly in the area of persecution. Nobody warned them, okay, listen, what you just said, they never told them that. You will still have problems.
Yeah.
Jesus said with His own mouth in another place in the Gospels, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Well, these people evidently, they were shocked or they were overwhelmed by when trouble came as a follower of Christ, someone who received the word with gladness and had joy. But the roots of their faith and their trust in God didn't go any deeper than good times.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
And so when the hard times hit, it's kind of like some of these big oak trees. It looks like they're so big and strong, but in reality, their roots go out like this many times and they don't go deep. So when a really heavy wind comes along, it can topple them over. And you've probably seen a big oak tree, this big around, it land on its side, and it's almost flat across the root bed of the tree because those roots didn't go deep enough to hold that big thing when the wind started blowing it. And so evidently that's these people. They received it in sincerity with joy. But when they discovered Jesus isn't just going to snap His fingers every time trouble comes and just make it all go away, they either got angry and bitter, or they lost trust in the whole message and in Christ. Maybe because they were never told.
Yeah.
He's not a sugar daddy. Yeah. He's not a magic wand.
Not Santa Claus.
He's not Santa Claus. He is a real person, just the person who wants to strengthen you from the inside out to go through this world with continued joy, with strength, with hope, with help, with specific guidance and intervention at times.
Yeah.
But he didn't, the gospel isn't just to give you the free ride, trouble-free, you know, lily pad, you know, rose garden life over here, whatever you want to call, you know,
right,
the Hollywood life. That's not the point. And so, as a matter of fact, there's beautiful things we never discover about our relationship with God and about God Himself if our faith isn't tested.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And so, that's in my mind, that's who this guy
is. Yeah, so
this number, response level.
Yeah, so number three. Okay. we're three in.
Okay. Number three is, now he who received the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful.
Mm.
What do you think that's about?
That reminds me of a lot of people who they're in it till it costs them too much, right?
Yeah, which you is kind of linked to the previous guy.
Right, it's kind of linked to the previous person, but you, they buy in completely, at least for a moment, mm-hmm, but then the cost is too much. Mm-hmm. And I know it's talking about wealth, but wealth could be anything. You can place anything in there. It could be your popularity. It could be your prosperity, like it said. It could be many other things, but the price is far too great for them in that moment.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, I think that's true, and in that way it's connected to the previous soil or person.
It is.
I think the big difference here is it wasn't some big price tag handed anybody in the moment of trouble. Here, it's, what will I spend my cell phone?
Right.
And what opportunities do I have?
And it costs too much.
Well, here, yeah, let's call it alternatives or distractions or detours. Any one of those words, in my mind, would describe this phenomena, this level of receptivity or where these people are at in receiving the word and what they do with it. What he actually says is, the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. So the truth quits generating motivation in this person.
Right.
Because their motivation is all taken up with the thrills that riches can buy.
Right.
In other words, they get their heart divided towards other means of happiness, but it also covers the other complete side of it. It says the cares of this world. If you study that phrase and you compare it, because this parable is told in Luke also, and you compare it and it's told a little bit different. And it's very probable that Jesus told these parables many times in many audiences, different audiences. And I believe he did that and he adjusted it just a little bit. And so, but if you study all of that, you're going to find out this is basically talking about the pressures and anxiety that comes from just living.
Yeah.
In other words, getting the bills paid, taking care of the kids, you know, looking out for your welfare, and what am I going to do about retirement? At my age, that's a big deal. What am I going to do about retirement? Am I going to have enough money to ever retire? Got to work till I'm 95. Yeah. What am I going to do? You know, or you know, my car is breaking down. It's getting old, and I can't afford another car payment. The cares of this world, the pressures of just living that weigh down on you. So we got really two different things that basically steal our attention and our energy. One are the worries and anxieties and pressures of life, things we just have to deal with. The other one is the lure of, oh man, if I could just have a big boat on the lake down here, if I could have a, for us, we, our church is, you can almost see a lake from our church, right, Lake Gunnersville. Right. Oh, if I could just have a place on the lake. I mean, I have to live way over there somewhere. I don't have that view from the ridge above the lake or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't have my own boat dock, you know. But boy, if I could have that, I could be happy. And people start pursuing those things. It reminds me of a saying about people who spend their whole lives trying to climb the ladder of success.
Yeah.
Only to discover when they get to the top, they got the ladder leaning against the wrong building.
Mm.
Okay. And so I see that in this guy.
Yeah.
In his response to the Word of God. It's like, let's just say he gets distracted with other things.
Yeah.
And doesn't pay attention to what the truth of the gospel should be in his heart. He doesn't feed the seed.
Right.
Other issues start stealing his energy and his attention until he's not paying attention to his spiritual life at all, and he becomes, Jesus says, unfruitful. Now, in the parable itself, it says thorns and weeds, basically. And we, you know, you ever grown anything, Seth?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
We did this last year.
Okay. What'd you grow?
We grew two tomato plants and some basil.
Did you just let weeds just grow up all around your tomato plant?
No.
And you watered it?
Yep. Every day.
You probably put a little fertilizer or something in there, or you got soil.
Started with the fertilizer. Yeah.
And then you'd keep the weeds out, or if there were bugs on it, you'd spray it or dust it with some kind of bug poison or whatever. Right. And of course you tried to make sure it had plenty of sunshine but mostly water and weed.
Yeah. Thanks to my son.
Yeah.
Reminding us.
So, you know, I think sometimes we get this misnomer about the Christian life that once we give our heart to Christ and we're born again, and then that's Jesus' words.
Right.
That's Jesus' words. Born again, we become new inside. That's Paul's words, new creation in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Sometimes new believers, particularly after that initial flush of enthusiasm and joy begins to maybe, you know, calm down a little bit, they begin wondering, what's wrong with me? Why am I not still just ecstatic?
Yeah.
And all of that. And if they're not careful, they don't realize that new spiritual being inside them needs to be fed, like a mom that's pregnant.
Right.
She's got a baby in her womb, and if she doesn't keep nourished, it's going to malnourish that baby.
Eventually, yeah.
And so seed are the same way. They got to be watered. They got to get sunshine. They got to get all of this stuff. And you know, for the seed to grow and bear fruit, and you got to weed and get those thorns and weeds and thistles out of there, that because they will consume the nutrients and the moisture of the soil. And this little plant over here that was supposed to get all that is just basically starving from neglect.
Yeah.
And these people, I believe, are all about the distractions of all the glitz and glitter of the world over here. Oh, this will make you happy. Oh, this will make you brand new. Oh, this will make you look 20 years younger.
Yeah.
Oh, this will give you the body of Atlas. Oh, this will give you white teeth. Oh, you know, a new car, that's what you need. All the women will love you.
Yeah.
All the promises of all this glitter and glitz and glamour.
Yeah.
Okay. So they begin to not feed the seed.
Right.
And basically it starves from neglect because they're feeding all this other stuff, right?
Yeah.
And then the cares of this life. If you try to tackle all the cares of this life and don't bring the good news into the way you see those things, and into the way you handle the stresses and anxieties, if you don't get the truth of the gospel involved in your perspective about the way you handle the stresses of life, they'll kill you.
You're right.
Or at the very least, they will also starve the seed.
That's right.
Just like the glitz and glamour can starve. And between those two things, the stresses and the glamour, the seed can be starved very easily.
Which brings us to our final. Fourth and final
fourth
seed.
Fourth and final seed, yeah. We're trying to keep this brief, but this is quite an extensive. You basically got, we probably should have made four sessions out of this. Yeah, the final one is the seed that fell on good soil.
Right.
No weeds, no stones, no hard-packed earth. The seed penetrated the soil and produced 100-fold, in other words, 100 times, 60 times, 30 times, but it produced fruit. In other words, there were viable results.
Yeah.
Let's go back to what this was a metaphor of. It's the metaphor of a person's heart.
Right.
Of that person and his responsiveness to the good news. It produced lasting fruit in that person's life. And we know the Bible talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, goodness, kindness, you know, patience, gentleness, self-control. All those things are fruits of God's Spirit as the truth, He applies that truth to our souls. In other words, the way we think, the way we feel, and the way we will.
Yeah.
That's our soul part of us. And those fruits are born in us as we water the seed and pray and ask the Holy Spirit to apply the truths of the gospel to our soul.
Yeah.
And so He bore plenty of fruit. In other words, the truth, the good news, became active in the way He thought. It became active in the way He responded emotionally to life. It became effective in the way He made His decisions with His will. Yeah. The good news affected Him. And because it did, He affected other people. Just like if I nurture this little corn seed and it grows into corn stalk, it's going to bear corn, ears of corn with many hundreds more of kernels of corn on them.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's the same thing happens in our life. We become fruitful. It's not only the fruit of the Holy Spirit I just listed, but it's also that fruitful life that produces impact, whether it's at your job or it's in your marriage or it's in the way you parent or it's in your recreational life even. You become more productive as a person when you integrate the truths of the gospel into the way you think and feel and will and act and, you know, decide to act.
Yeah.
And so that's the difference here. You know, I think the one thing that I would really like to say, because I know we're probably past 30 minutes here, but is this, and we've talked about this before, the Christian life is a process.
It is.
It's a growth process. Let me make it real simple. What you feed grows, and what you starve dies.
That's right.
And our hearts have a level of receptivity. In my mind, it's this. How receptive are you to change to respond to the truth? Because the truth is like a surgeon's scalpel. Matter of fact, it says in Hebrews 4:12, it says, the Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, and it divides asunder the soul and the spirit, and the thoughts and intents of the heart. You see, the Word of God, the good news, the truth about Jesus, God uses it to do surgery on us, but are we willing to sit still and respond to that cutting, respond to the truth, willfully, consciously, consistently, day after day? Do I open this book and say, okay, oh, that's not just a cool thought. No, what do I do about this today?
Right.
Holy Spirit, help me respond to this. That's a responsive heart. One of the scariest things for me in my life is that I never want to take the Word of God lightly. I want to be responsive, because when I don't make a habit of responding to the truth, my heart becomes a little harder. And here's this tragedy. A hard heart isn't just hard against one certain truth. When I harden my heart, and I harden it not always on purpose, I harden it by simply not determining I'm going to respond to the voice of the Holy Spirit as He applies the Word of God to my own soul. If I don't develop a responsive attitude towards the truth in the Spirit, my heart will get less and less responsive. And it'll be less responsive not only to the Word and the Spirit, it'll be less responsive to you.
Yeah.
And to Stephen, who's videoing this.
Yeah.
And to the people in my family.
Yeah.
Because a hard heart is hard.
To everybody.
To everything and everybody.
That's right.
And we think we can pick and choose where we're going to be responsive, and we can for a while. But more and more, that's controlled by how selfish or not selfish we are. And so, responsiveness. And the Holy Spirit wants to help us stay. It's kind of like hardened leather you rub oil into and you loosen it up.
Yeah.
You know, He wants to rub oil into our soul and loosen us up and make us so tender to His touch.
Right.
And every shred of truth. Because when we're responsible for the truth we have, Seth.
Yeah.
And you and I've heard a lot of truth.
Yeah, we have.
I mean, we've both grown up in church. We've heard, who knows, thousands of sermons.
Yes.
Me more than you, because I'm twice as old as you are. but man, when I think about all the truth, I'm responsible for the truth that I hear. And that's a scary thought for some people. And so this is a very important parable for believers and unbelievers. For unbelievers, I'm going to say this to you. Are you even willing to consider whether the Bible is really true or not, and whether it applies to you? Is that even an option to you? Or have you developed an attitude about the gospel based on what you've seen of those who were trying to follow Jesus? Because you're not following them, you're following Jesus.
That's right.
You got to ask yourself this question. Am I open to the truth no matter where it leads me?
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And for all you believers, or you people that say you're Jesus followers, are you reading what Jesus says? Because there will be no excuse for most of us. If we know how to read and we live in a free country, there's really no excuse right. for not knowing the truth. And Jesus said, if you know the truth, you shall know the truth. The truth shall set you free.
Yeah.
But that's only truth that we really know by embracing, responding, and experiencing it in our lives. That's the way truth sets us free. I just want to ask you, are you reading the book? Are you asking the Holy Spirit to help you do? Because really, eventually, faith is as faith does. Love is as love does.
That's right.
Are you doing the truth?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Are you doing your faith? Are you doing the love of Jesus thing? Or are you just hearing about it every Sunday, reading about it sometimes?
Doing a checklist.
At your convenience.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you just checking off things? Or are you really responding to what the Holy Spirit would say to you? Here's a good practice for all you people that are trying to be Jesus followers. Get in the book. Get a system. Way to approach reading and studying this book. But every time you engage Scripture or truth, ask the Holy Spirit to help you understand it well enough to do it.
Yeah.
And to give you the will and the courage and the tenacity to do the Word, do the truth. Don't just hear it. James said this, final, and we'll pray. James said, blessed are the doers of the Word and not those who are hearers only. That's James chapter 1. Not an exact quote, but that's the essence of it.
Yeah.
You're blessed if you do the Word, not if you hear it.
Yeah. Yeah.
As a matter of fact, Jesus told another parable we'll talk about sometimes about a man who built his house on the rock.
Yeah.
And then the man who built his house on the sand. When the storm hit it, the man's house on the rock stood. The man's house on the sand was destroyed.
That's right.
The difference was, he who heard the Word and did it.
Yeah.
Big difference.
Yeah, yeah.
Both of them heard the Word. One of them did the Word.
You know?
It's kind of like me hearing, I need to get my brakes checked. I hear you. I need to get my brakes checked. And then they go out on me and I plow into somebody.
Yeah.
Big difference.
So, yeah.
Would you pray for us? I know I've done most of the talking here, but would you pray for those, both those who may have never really been willing to give Jesus a real chance.
Yeah.
Never really been willing to let the Word get past the bounce off me stage.
Yeah.
pray for them and then pray for those who are trying to be Christ followers,
yeah.
but they're not really taking the word seriously.
Absolutely.
Pray for
God,
us.
We come to you right now, and I thank you first off, God, for the people, for the very first time they may be giving you a chance. I pray that you would continue to draw them to you, Lord Jesus, that in this moment that they would surrender their heart to you. They would surrender their lives to you. And God, that you would, God, take them completely to the place you want them to be. God, I also pray, God, for the other group, people who want to follow you, God, that you would help not only them, but us, God, to follow you consistently all the time, God, that we would be the last seed, God, that produces 30, 60, 100 times greater than we are, Father God, that you would produce yourself in the way we treat our wives and husbands and our kids, God, and our friends, God, and our family and the people around us. Be with us today, God. Give us the strength to be that kind of person. Touch us in such a powerful way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I appreciate it.
Thanks for coming.